when God goes before you, nothing can stand against you. He uses that phrasing in the book of Romans when Paul wrote that letter to the church. And nothing can stand against you when God goes before you. You see that so clearly. You name a character in the Bible. You name the stories of Moses. You name the stories of Joshua. You name the stories of David. You name the stories of Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, Samuel, and Jacob. When God goes before you, walls fall down and rivers dry up and giants fall over and lions sit and stare at you and they refuse to eat your arms and legs. When God goes before you, amazing things happen. And it was years ago now, I remember my friend Logan Clausen was a really good friend of mine, especially back then when we were at Bible school together, seeing each other every day. And he told me about this place called Rock Solid Refuge. And he spoke about it as if it was a place where God just went before people. People with addictions would come there, and their addictions would break, and they would meet Jesus, and their life was changed because God was doing something at that place. And Logan himself had struggled with addictions, and he knew all about that. And then I met Dallas, and I've met people from Rock Solid over all those years, and God moves at that place. And goes before people and breaks chains and breaks addictions. And those are his children. And he's saving them. And it's incredible. So I want to welcome you guys here. And let's just give Rock Solid Refuge a warm welcome as they share with us what God is doing there. Come on up.
Thank you. Always appreciate the opportunity to return and be a part of God's people in this place. In case they don't get to connect with Pastor Nick afterwards, Tyler Duick says to say hi. Yeah, he appreciates you and wanted me to make sure to say hi. Tyler Duick is our new educational director and went to the Ozma Community Church where Pastor Nick was a pastor for many years as well. And so they're good friends. I appreciate the last song especially and how it fits with what I hope to share this morning. Galatians 5 verse 1 says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." My chains are gone, I've been set free. What does this word freed or freedom actually mean? And it's a really important word in the ministry of Rock Solid Refuge. The young people that come to Rock Solid Refuge, they often have this view of freedom. So sorry it's a little bit unclear here, but I'll read this for you if you can't read it from where you're at. "See that bird? That bird has more freedom than I have." These two boys looking out the window and watching a bird. You know, when we think about the word freedom, what's the natural description or definition of the word freedom that we're drawn to? Isn't it this? Like, I just feel like, you know, I'm trapped. He doesn't have to go to school or eat liver or memorize the times table. He's totally free. And we have this desire that the word freedom would really mean I can do what? Whatever I want. What I want, when I want, right? And these two young guys, and I kid you not, I have this cartoon on my phone in an email that I got at some point. I don't even know I have it flagged just because I think it's awesome. And I kid you not, a few months ago, two of our students were standing in the dining room window having exactly this conversation. Like, we just talked about it like 2 days ago, too. Like, he's like, "Yeah, that was me. I was with me and so-and-so. We were having that conversation." I said, "Yeah, I showed you that cartoon, right?" He's like, "Yeah." I like, it blew my mind, you know? And that's what the students, you know, untruthfully, if we're honest, we're all drawn to that definition of freedom, if we're honest, right? Like, who wouldn't want to do what they want when they want? Now, if we do that, if we live that out, what becomes the result? Maybe, you know, like the bird. Like, it's death and destruction, right? Like, truthfully, sin is attractive, am I right? How many here have ever enjoyed sinning? Every hand should go up. we got to be honest that there's sin is attractive. There's a reason why it says Moses set aside the pleasures of sin for a season, or the fleeting pleasures of sin. Because the reality is that it has a pleasure to it, but it has a hook. It's called death, right? And so, for those of you who are maybe not familiar with Rock Solid, and I know a number of you are because I've been here a number of times, and maybe there's some new people here or what have you, but I know a number of you have been out to Rock Solid Refuge. How many of you have been out to the site at Rock Solid Refuge? Quite a few of you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Some of you have come for our open houses. Some of you have come and served and helped us with some things. I really appreciate that. But Rock Solid Refuge exists for the reality that life-controlling issues exist. Addiction, substance abuse, pornography, challenging behavior, which all bring a context of brokenness into their lives and into their homes. Rock Solid Refuge believes that there is hope. We started working with young people in 2007 at a little Bible camp called Simi Bible Camp that really was only used for 1 week out of the summer, and we just rented it and created a program that God led us into. And Pastor Bob's grandson was part of that very first group. And it's been a privilege to work with these young people ever since then. And so for 11 and a half years now, God has given us the privilege. We have our own property now instead of renting the camp. So running year-round now since the spring of 2010. And it's just been an amazing opportunity. As we were driving up here, me and the students that came with me, Eli and Lane, we were just talking about the reality that, you know, when Rock Solid started, we were a three-month program. That's it. And that's actually quite a bit longer, three times longer than a lot of government programs, actually. But the reality is, at best, the 28-day program, which is common, can curb some of the physical addictions to the substances, maybe, but it doesn't really touch the mental addiction, that thing in them, in your mind that goes, that's what I need, that's where I was okay. And bring them into an environment. So even though we did 3 months, God gave us the privilege for the last 8 years to run a program that's 12 months long. And it's been incredible. Our mission is to bring God's transforming love to adolescents with life-controlling issues that they may know freedom, restoration, and hope. We believe that God wants the ministry of Rock Solid Refuge to be more than what it is even today. Currently, we only work with guides. We've got a capacity of about 10 students at a time. And as far as we know to this point, we are still the only adolescent program of its kind in Canada. Now we know, and I think some of you would be familiar with Living Hope Ranch that's working on getting started in the console area. We think they're going to be awesome and do a great work there. But 10 beds in all of Canada, just imagine that. That's what's available for long-term Christian treatment. That's it. So Lane, who will share in a little bit, his grandma searched and searched. His grandma's his legal guardian and couldn't find anything, and finally was able to find us. Parents are besides themselves trying to find something. So our hope is that in time, not only will we expand our current property, our current facilities, to accommodate 30 or 40 students at a time, but that God might give us an opportunity to open up centers across Canada. Maybe one in BC, maybe in Lower Toronto area, Ontario, and the Maritimes. Who knows? God's in charge of that. We didn't know how it would go to start one, but God brought it about, so we'll trust that He has more in store for us as we go. Four key pillars that we are founded on: faith and discipleship. We are unapologetically Christian. You don't have to be a Christian to come to the program. You don't have to be a Christian to sign your kid into the program. But we are unapologetically Christian, and we believe that Jesus has something for us to bring us into the right context of freedom. I'm going to expound on that a little bit later, of what it means to come into freedom. What does the Apostle Paul mean? But that God Himself comes and He has the right answer for what that actually means. So chapel devotions, Christian studies is a part of what we do on a day-to-day basis. Mentorship. Every student has a mentor. One of the staff members meets with him every week or sometimes every other week. And just one-on-one, just a non-conflict conversation. It's not about what did you do wrong this last week. It's about, hey, how's life? And just sharing some stories about life together, some just building relationship together. And then a mentor imparting, hopefully, some godly wisdom to the mentee. It's a rich, rich time. We believe also that education is important. We're a fully accredited independent school. It's one of the areas that our students find themselves having success quickly. Often they do. Education has not been easy for a lot of our students, whether it's the effort that they've put in or the environment or the distractions in their lives. But in our school, the students seem to be able to excel in a way that they weren't able to where they came from. And so we're very excited about that. And we also believe in developing life skills. We believe that developing what's called employability skills, which really has more to do with about character than it does to do with, you know, do they know how to use a tape measure or a table saw or something like that, but rather do they have the character qualities to show up to work on time, to be teachable. Most employers, how many of you are employers? You have people working under you or you have had people working under you. Unless I'm mistaken, you're happy to teach skills, but if somebody can't show up to work on time or is unteachable, they just think they know it all, that's a very difficult scenario, right? And so those are some of the things that we want to develop through building some skills in different activities at Rock Solid. And we also believe, actually, that building relationships just simply through activities and just enjoying life together is super important. And I think it is something that we want our students maybe to experience for the first time in a long time. We begin to bring their families into that reality through things like family camp and those kind of things. By the way, that picture with those horses on the left side there are horses that we are wintering for West Bank Bible Camp. Now, I think your pie auction was probably for West Bank, the camp, right? So we appreciate West Bank, and we've been able to create a really neat partnership with them. So we winter the horses and use them because it's good for camp horses to get used, and they get their horses wintered. So it's been really neat to work with them a bit as well. Like I said, some of the activities that we, or events that we do, we have family camp, students graduate, we take the students on retreats to different places, whether it's fishing trips or Bible school retreats, Karenport for Youthquake, Miller for Youth Edge, different places that we'll take the students and just enjoy building relationships with them. The top picture is our Harvest for Hope project from this last year, a great canola crop, and I know some of you, I think, here were involved with that as well. Dave Wheeler, for sure, and so we really appreciate that. That's been just such a blessing, just south of Swift Current as well. I'm going to call Elijah and Lane up. You guys can both come up, and Lane, maybe you go first, and then you'll get to hear some of what God's doing in their lives.
Morning. My name is Lane. I live with my grandma on a small acreage near Anisfall, Alberta. My life has been a roller coaster of tragedy, pain, and heartache. My father left my mom when she was 1 month pregnant with me, so I never got the chance to meet him. I was born 5 weeks premature with underdeveloped lungs. No matter how hard the doctors tried, they couldn't get me to cry properly, so I speak like a little mouse. At first, it was my mom, my grandma, my aunts, and I. Then my mom got married, and I soon became an older brother, and I have 3 younger half-brothers. By the time I was 4, my grandma noticed the bruises on my arms that looked a lot like handprints. I was being verbally, mentally, and physically abused by my stepdad. Eventually, my mom picked him out, but when he visited, he started abusing my mom, and he abused me even more. The abuse went on for 9 years before my grandma was finally allowed to get me out, probably saving my life. In 2013, my grandma became my legal guardian. It was such a relief to be in a loving, caring Christian home. I became a Christian about 6 months later and was baptized. I still had a long road of counseling and hospital visits for my mind and my heart. To this day, I still have trouble when something reminds me of my past. Since becoming a Christian, I have been devoted to God and His will. My father lying, lack of self-discipline, motivation, stress eating, and abuse of alcohol, cigarettes, and drugs. This is why I came to Rock Solid Refuge. After being at Rock Solid for 15 and a half months, I could see huge changes in myself. My mentor was a big help in getting me settled in and making me feel like I'm at home. After graduation, I plan to do something that involves farming, animals, law enforcement, or military. A Bible verse that helps me is Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff that comfort me. Thank you.
Hi everyone, my name is Elijah and I'm here to speak on my journey as a recovering adolescent. I grew up in Calgary with my 4 siblings and our mother. My mother was always looking for new job opportunities like cleaning houses, construction contracts, or just about anything that would fund us for the time being. We were constantly moving from house to house, and the more we moved, the worse the living conditions became. The 5 of us all ended up in a Northeast Calgary 2-bedroom apartment where we all spiraled into our addictions. My mother was always drinking and avoiding her responsibilities as a parent, and my sister was always leaving the house to pursue her next high. It seemed left and right, all I could feel was chaos and this horridness in my head. These feelings of being misguided and unloved resulted in smoking marijuana, drinking, selling drugs, and chasing a violent lifestyle. After my mother decided to get sober, it wasn't long until she sent me and my other siblings into treatment and into recovery. I went through the year-long program. I shook hands, acted polite, and smiled my way through. I was 13 years old when I first went into treatment. And when I graduated, I stayed sober for almost 2.5 years, attending Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, occasionally grabbing a coffee with my sponsor, and reaching out when I needed the support. But over time, I started to become more dishonest with others and cut off my sober influence of friends. Once I lost my job, I needed to make money some way, so I decided to start selling drugs again. This resulted in me relapsing a few months later with my younger brother, who also achieved and threw away a year's sobriety that night. Once I relapsed, I was right back into everything. I walked away from 2.5 years ago. Over time, I couldn't hide it from my mother, and the more I came home from smoking and or drinking all day, the more she grew in suspicion. She finally figured out what was happening and sent me into Rock Solid Refuge. And in Rock Solid Refuge is where I found a space to get close to God and get away from the distractions that misled me from what God really created me for. Serving God and serving others to the glory of God is the main thing I have learned from my first time as a student on RSR. And now I have come back to Rock Solid to participate as an intern and show up for the staff whenever and however possible. Francis of Assisi said, "Start by doing what's necessary, then do what is possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible." For me, the necessary was first getting sober and reconnecting with God. Then the possible is this internship, and the impossible is awaiting me in the future, and I honestly cannot be more excited for it. Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks, gentlemen. Both Lane's grandma and Eli's mom have been with me at presentations like this at times and shared some of their journey. And truthfully, both of them were part of churches where they were from. And so we're not exempt no matter where we are. I think we know that that's true. And as they tell their story, they would communicate, if they were here this morning, they would both communicate, I just thought I was just an absolute failure. I didn't know where to go or what to do. And how can I take my young teen to this place where I don't know them and just leave them. And if you can imagine that moment for a parent, it's very difficult. And so we're both humbled and privileged that God allows us to be entrusted with these young people for a time. And so there is a way that people come alongside of us and help and be a part of what we're doing. But before that, I want to just play a 5-minute video that's a bit of a testimony of one of our staff that I think is really helps to understand the context of what we're doing at Rock Solid.
I'm Jason. I've been working at Rock Solid Refuge for 4 years. My official title is a youth care worker. I'm a lead, and I'm with the guys 1 week on, 1 week off. And I do various things, such as teaching, you know, the Bible. I do group devotions. I help them with personal devotions, and not only that, I do work projects. So why am I here? Well, I'm here because of my story. I grew up in an alcoholic home, which was very dysfunctional. It's no big deal for my mom and dad to scream at one another. And not only that, there wasn't what I would call a lot of love in the house. One night when I was 10, my mom and dad had a huge, massive fight. And my dad grabbed my mother by the hair and dragged her across the road, threw her in the house. And my mom said, "That's it, Jim, I've had enough." And so she proceeded to grab the whiskey bottle, grab the Valium, and down both of them. Simply put, my mother committed suicide in front of my eyes. The next day, my mom was gone. I was angry, I was bitter, I was upset. My dad decided to drown himself in the bottle for the next 4 years of his life. I was bitter, I was angry, my life, quite madly, spiraled completely, totally out of control. I was up to anything. My dad finally died, and then eventually I came to Canada. When I came to Canada, I had a new start. In that start, I started attending church, even though I didn't understand who God was or what he wanted to do in my life. I met this guy by the name of John. And John poured into me for absolutely no reason other than the fact of the love of Christ. And when I think about that, how amazing he spoke to me and how he actually wanted to hang out with me, a person who was completely, in my eyes, was wretched. I just couldn't care less about life, didn't care about anyone. Yet he cared about me. You know, he showed me what discipleship was, he showed me what mentorship was, just for the sake of the fact that he recognized that God loves me. And he would love me in return. So one of the main reasons why I'm here at Rock Solid is not because I have to be, not simply because of about money or fame or fortune. What it's about is pouring into young men's life, as John did for me, which I am forever grateful. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough it gets, I'm always reminded of John's example in my life, and I want to be that for others. I can never repay John for what he has done, but he said to me one time, when I was bitter and angry and mad at him, he put me up against the wall and he says, "James, God loves you. I'm going to tell you something, that I see potential in you. God sees potential in you. The only one who doesn't see potential in you is you. But the day you realize that, God is going to use that in your life." And I want to see that so much in the guy's life that I serve, that I have the privilege and honor in sharing with. There is one story, in particular. A former student had come into the program, and he was incredibly lost, hooked on drugs, and was also here for armed robbery. And one night, he decided that was it. It was enough. And so he started to walk. And as he began to walk, I went after him, because it's part of what I do. And so as I'm walking with him, he decided to cut across the field, and he kept on looking back, he kept on asking me, he says, "You can leave any time that you want." And I said, "Well, I'm not leaving you, I can't." And, you know, he started to swear, and he started to throw rocks. And I kept my distance, and my staff member was with me, but he was in the van. And so we came across this patch of ice, and it was freezing, it was like minus 20 out. And I didn't know if I should cross it, but he started to cross. And so I had a choice. And so what was I going to do? You know, I could stop and and walk around, but I did not know where he was. So I crossed the ice. He started to run, and I started to run with him. And eventually, he got away from me. And so I started to pray, and I started to ask God, like, where is he? The weather's getting colder. I couldn't find him. So we found our staff corps. And when we found them, we started to look for him. We started to go after him because we realized that every single student that we have here is very, very important. And when we finally found him, he came up to us and he hugged us. And this is one point which always sticks out in my mind, is that he came up to me and he grabbed a hold of me, and tears were coming down his eyes. And he says, James, I knew you would never leave me. He said, I knew that even though I ran, that you would follow me. And this was like 5 hours. You know, I'm not telling you this story to be perfect. I'm not telling you this story like, look at James. I'm telling you this story that there's hundreds of like this each and every day in some way, shape, or form. And the students that we come here, we desperately care because of the future and there's a hope for their life. So today, I've been married for almost 25 years to a gal by the name of Julie, who's amazing. I also have 3 great daughters, Rachel, Kara, and Petra. And that proves that there is a future. There is a hope. And so when I work with the guys, I try and teach them that each and every day. That even though their life is difficult now, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I really want to pass on that in the midst of everything which happens in our lives, and especially for the students, that there's a future and there's a hope. And it is primarily through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, I travel around a lot and play that almost everywhere I go, and I never get tired of hearing that story. I see James at work and his wife at work, and his wife's story is incredible too. And the way that God truly has hope in some of the darkest times. That's a 5-minute clip of a 43-minute documentary that we did. And if you want to see the whole documentary, 10yearsinthemaking.ca is where you can go to it. And we're actually really proud of it. We think it tells our story really well. It tells where we came from. Justin Mizu is our inspiration, hooked on meth as a 16-year-old, and it's worth watching. We appreciate very much that many of you have already partnered with us in so many ways. And one of the ways that people have partnered with us is Partner for Change sponsorships, and I'm pretty sure there's people here that are sponsoring students. You have a brochure like that that's been put into your bulletin. For $39 a month, you can partner with us and really bless the work that we're doing, and a particular student as well. It's really an encouragement when a student gets a letter from their sponsors, and that just simply encourages them. I have a letter on my desk, and I was going to bring it this morning to read it, a little excerpt of it, but I forgot it. I have a letter on my desk that's from a previous student of Rock Solid, writing to his sponsor student. So he's right now working in a Christian recovery center in New Brunswick, as a staff member, and he's sponsoring one of our students, and he's super excited about it. And he writes in there, knowing exactly what the experience is like to be in Rock Solid, and so it's just a real encouragement to our students. And so for you to sponsor and then write, it just is really helpful in their lives. Other ways that people have helped us, you recognize Erwin. He came out last spring and finished we have in our house that we live in, this staff house on site, the stairwell down to the basement was unfinished, and Erwin came and just, I don't know, if you've ever worked alongside him, he just is a perfectionist beyond anything I've ever seen before. And so just did a fantastic job. So it just looked really good when he was done. Last year when I was here, I told you that we were looking to raise money for 2 particular things. One was a guest cabin for parents to stay in when they come to visit their young person. And that's the guest cabin. It's on site right across from our main center. And one of our students' families is staying in there right now this weekend. And it's just an absolute blessing. So a 2-bedroom guest cabin that is really just tremendous. We've also been able to move a new staff family on site because we were able to acquire this mobile home and move it on site as well this summer. And so we want to just really say thank you to you for being a part of helping us to get some of those things done. We really appreciate it. There's lots of other opportunities to volunteer if you're looking for things to do, whether it's this winter or next summer. We have some churches that are talking about sending some groups out again next summer to do some things as well. So there's often things to be done. We also need one-time donations. And so we're looking to raise about $135,000 by the end of December just to get us into the new year in really good standing. We just really appreciate the opportunity to share all of that with you. I want to share it with you a little bit. That's a picture from our family camp this last summer. Camp Elam is what we rent all the time to do our family camp. So all of our students and their families and most of our staff and their families as well are a part of that. I want to jump back into Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up or turn them on and follow with me in Galatians chapter 5 for just a few minutes and see what God has to say to us from Galatians chapter 5. I was at a family function. My wife's uncle turned 80, and so there was this function that we went to. And it was this amazing supper that they served. And as is the case in some of the places, they put up the menu of what you're about to enjoy. And at the bottom of the menu was this statement, and it caught my attention. And I don't know, read it carefully and see if something about it stands out to you as just a little bit off. Please ask one of the catering staff if you have any dietary restrictions. Does that statement make sense? Now, if you're walking through that line, you know what they mean, and but I have a strange brain that catches things like that and goes, there's something not right about this. I got to take a picture of this. But anyways, it's like, they don't know if I have dietary, why would I ask them? They're not my doctor. But maybe I could skip my next appointment, because maybe they do know. Do I have any dietary restrictions? Or questions? Well, if I ask them if I have any questions, I've just asked them a question. But it's kind of strange the way we word some things sometimes. But meaning is built into our existence, right? We say things and they're meant to mean things. So when the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, "For freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery," that means something. My chains are gone, I've been set free. What have I been set free from? So if you need a title for this message, and it'll be brief, I promise. If you need a title for this message, it would be "Freed from what to what?" Right? One of the things that we understand very intimately about addictions is that if you try to railroad somebody into just stopping doing what they shouldn't be doing anymore, that's kind of destroying them, and that is not replaced with something else that is important and valuable to them, they're just going to go right back to it. I can promise you that's what will happen, right? If any of you have been in that context, you know it very well. What are we freed from and what are we freed to? This is very important. It's important for us to understand. And Galatians chapter 5 just works that theme through over and over. If we're just freed, and we get to interpret that verse on its own through whatever lens we bring to it, maybe some would, and I would suggest to you many people would like to interpret that, oh, God has set me free to do what I want when I want to do it. That's what I'm set free to do. I mean, you heard this statement before, maybe, God's a great forgiver, I'm a great sinner, this is a great partnership. I mean, I love to sin, He loves to forgive, this can work. But is that what Paul is meaning here? And I would suggest to us that the first thing that Paul is passionately communicating in the book of Galatians of what we are freed from is the penalty of sin. And we're freed from the penalty of sin not by our own works. In fact, Paul is so passionate about it, it's the one letter that he wrote without giving an encouragement off the start. Like, the Corinthians were a mess, and he still encourages them. The Galatians, I don't know exactly all the things that were happening in that church, but they began to get the gospel wrong. They began to get how we become freed from sin, from the penalty of sin, wrong. Began to weave into it a context of our own works, our own things that we do, is a part of how we become free from the penalty of sin. And Paul says, who has bewitched you that you would leave the gospel that I proclaimed to you, which is no, and you have clung to a gospel which is no gospel at all. So we are freed by the grace of God, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We are freed from the penalty of sin. We are declared right with God. Amazing grace. That's what we sing about. I think that at the time when we cease to be amazed at being freed from the penalty of sin, our worship to God becomes almost nothing. I love that song. And I think that some context of that has to be in our every Sunday service somehow. That we are not here because we have done something great. We are not children of God because of our own works. By His grace alone can I be called a child of God. We are justified, declared right with God by His great grace. So we are freed from the penalty of sin. We are freed from the power of sin, as Romans 6 would say, which is our slave master. We are freed from the power of sin. And we are freed to something else. We are freed to a new life. So what does that new life look like? If we are to make a comparison, and through this chapter, Paul is making comparisons. Here's the old life. Here's the new life. I'm going to jump down to verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. So Paul begins to become very clear. And the same in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, five chapters in Romans to lay out the amazing grace of God that is for us apart from our works. And then Paul just hammers it in chapter 6 and says, are we going to go on sinning now? Because, you know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Do not, brothers, for you were called to freedom, verse 13 again, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. That flesh that actually desires sin, that part of us that we wrestle with as Christians. But through love, serve one another. So the contrast of being not set free to being set free is going from really serving our flesh, the sinful desires that have not yet been annihilated in us, to serving Christ, and then, therefore, serving one another. We are free, brothers and sisters, to love. We are freed to serve. I don't know if in your life you have recognized something at some point to go, I love to love people. I love to serve people. And then look back and think back to a time when that wasn't true of you. I remember that well. I didn't really love serving people. I resented the fact that when I was young, my parents would take us to old folks' home and say, play your instruments, sing songs, bless these people. Like, I don't want to. But we did, because that's what we do. You're a block. This is what we do. And moving and recognizing that from this amazing, miraculous thing that happens inside of us, not by our own doing, but that God frees us from this flesh that just wants to serve itself, to actually enjoying loving and serving. It's amazing. Watching Elijah come through the program and then come back as an intern and begin to just really enjoy, how can I serve? How can I make this place better? How can I help this next student? This is amazing. It's incredible. It's what God has called us to. If that's the, and that's the move that we are asking God for every student that comes to Rock Solid, and really for all of us staff. And that's my prayer for you here as well. Now, I'll just close with this. But I say, verse 16, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What does that mean to walk by the Spirit? To walk by the Spirit, I'm going to just say, involves two key aspects. Faith and love. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. By faith, we enter into that amazing relationship with God. And we come to know his love. And then his love moves in us and through us. George Mueller said this, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished. Folks, I really believe this is critical in our walk with God. Walk by the Spirit and you will not fill the desires of the flesh, gratify the desires of the flesh. It is so necessary for us to be happy in God, for him to be more precious than anything else in our lives. That amazing grace that we've just sensed washes over us over and over again, and being in the presence of God being more important than anything else. And then through that, as we walk with God, being freed from both the penalty of sin and the power of sin to love and serve because he loved and served us first. That's our prayer for our students. That's my prayer for you this morning. Thank you again for the opportunity to share with you. I look forward to chatting with some of you after the service as well.
We want to show our appreciation for Rock Solid by having a special offering for them. And right now the ushers are just getting themselves organized and grabbing everything that they need to have this special offering. So if you feel like you can be a part of this ministry, if you feel like you can help, this is your opportunity to get involved. Like you said, they had a whole list of volunteer projects you can help with. So if you want to be in Irwin, just go volunteer. Take Irwin, go volunteer with him. That'd be excellent. Go volunteer together. Are you ready, ushers? Come on forward. That's good. It's good to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing and the lives that are being changed. May, Lord, this gift we put together, Lord, and hand to you. May this gift change lives, Lord. May you change lives. May we be obedient to the call to serve and help. Thank you, Lord, for Rock Solid Refuge. Bless this gift. Amen. Thank you. rise for the benediction as we close our service. Sometimes at the end of the service, I share scripture. And today the Lord said Romans. He said 3, 5, and 10. Romans 3. That we're all sinful. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. And Romans 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on that name. So if you've not called on the name of the Lord to be saved, call on His name. His name is powerful. Call on His name. Ask Him to speak to you. Call on His name. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You still speak to us today, and that we can reach out and call on Your name. Thank You, Father, that You called on the names of each person who's been to Rock Solid Refuge and has met You, Lord Jesus, and has heard from You and who knows You. Thank You, Lord, for Dallas and his leadership. And Lord, may their ministry, may it grow, Lord, and may it remain faithful to Your word, and may many more lives be changed and given hope at that place. Lord Jesus, be with the church as the church disperses. And make us a light, Lord, to our city to share hope with this world. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.